Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 93 of The Gut Goddess Show, and today we are talking about the four daily habits that I have that support my gut health and digestive system. So if you want to know how to optimize your energy, support your digestive health, or to be honest, support your hormones, skin, immune system, autoimmune conditions, this is a great podcast for you, because I'm going to be talking about four kind of quick, easy daily things that aren't super crazy, that aren't really complicated, but also actually aren't expensive, that you can do to really help cultivate a healthy digestive system. And when you do that, you cultivate better energy, better hormones, better skin, better belly, better mental well-being. So this is one episode not to miss. And if you like it, if you're like, oh, so-and-so would love this episode, share it with them. And if you're listening and you're on Instagram or on Facebook, screenshot you listening to this and tag me. Let me know you're listening. I would love to know who's listening. I'd love to reach out and help you with any questions. So do that. Otherwise, I hope you're having a fun week. I am currently recording this hoping to record this in a nap time because I've had a little sick little boy who's not gone to nursery. So if you hear wailing in the background or funny pauses from me, you all know why. But it's been a good week. I just had a call with a client last night, and we'd been implementing some of these things I was going to talk about, as well as some other more in-depth things, because she had just basically struggled with being bloated for, I think, maybe like 7 years, like really bloated, like constantly bloated all the time. She ate a healthy diet, so it's not like she was coming to me and eating KFC every day, and was just at a place where she was really frustrated. She'd done a lot of the inner work, you know, she'd meditated, all these things, but she could not figure out the life of it why she was so bloated and so severely constipated no matter what she did. So she was maybe having a bowel movement at best every 7 days, sometimes 10 days. So that's really uncomfortable, guys. If you're not pooping every day and you're only pooping every 10 days, it's so uncomfortable. And I've had lots of clients come to me like this. And she was telling me, so we've only been working together for a short amount of time. She's now having more regular bowel movements. She's still not at every day, but she's getting closer. I think she's having a poop every 3 days, 3 or 4 days. Her bloating is massively reduced. And the reason for that is just because we just created that kind of personalized program for what she needed. And some of the stuff that we're talking about today, she's implementing. And then we obviously implemented some more personalized things as well. And I share this with you to encourage you. If you feel stuck, overwhelmed, if you're not sure, if you're whatever your health issue is, this year is a year that you can see real shifts in it. There is so much that you can do. You're so much more powerful than you realize. And if you specifically want to help with bloating, digestive issues, energy issues, you want to get more energy in 2020, join me in my Beat the Bloat Challenge, which is kicking off on the 27th of January. If you head to keziahall.com, you'll see it kind of plastered all over the website. You can join there. It's in the show notes of today's show. If you're on my email list, I'll be emailing you about it, or you'll have an email about it. Join me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge. It's completely free, and I become your holistic nutritionist for 5 days or more. And I share with you my Beat the Bloat methodology, which I have used on myself and with hundreds of clients to help them to say goodbye to things like IBS, constipation, diarrhea, bloating, weight gain, low energy, fatigue, sluggishness, brain fog, hormonal imbalances, other diagnoses. And it's actually really simple, and the challenge is really fun. So do make sure you join me in that. If you've never joined me in a Beat the Bloat Challenge before, do it. If you have joined me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge, still join me and sign up, because I am going to be offering some bonus like warm-up content all around planning your year, routines, and some new extra stuff for you guys. So, and you can join the group, get those new extra videos, and I can just help keep you accountable for whatever you want to do for this year. So join me in the challenge. It'll be super fun. And thank you for all the reviews you've been leaving. They're so fun. I'm not going to read one out now, but if you haven't left me a review, first pause this and go and sign up for the Beat the Bloat Challenge. Okay, if you've done that, then if you have time, you can go and leave me a review on iTunes. I'd love you to do that at some point. I read them all. They mean a lot to me, and they really help fuel this ongoing time-consuming, money-consuming, brain-consuming process of a weekly podcast. And I am thinking about maybe making this podcast to 2 a week. So I'm thinking about maybe introducing a short episode in a week that's a really quick, dirty kind of, I say dirty, it's not dirty, like quick tips of how to do this. So kind of 10 or 15 minutes. So if you would like the idea of that, if you would listen to more of a quick how-to, really bite-size on a specific area, then let me know, because I am contemplating and I would consider doing that for you guys if it was going to help you get to where you want to be. Okay, enjoy this episode and I'll see you in the Beat the Bloat Challenge. So we are going to be talking about some of the daily things that I do and that I get clients to do in order to help support their gut health, their digestion, to help prevent bloating, crazy toilet habits, and all of that sort of stuff. So these are, I'm kind of going to share with you actually kind of some quick and dirty digestion hacks. And they're going to be 4 things. I have had to think, there's lots that you can do. There's lots that I chat to my clients about in order to help them to overcome their IBS or other digestive issues or bloating or fatigue or whatever else. But these are some of the things that I do regularly and that I feel like can make a really big difference. So we're going to dive in to those. So get your notes out on your phone, get a pen and paper, or just listen to this a few times. And I would really encourage you, with every podcast that you listen to, whether it's mine or someone else's, I really encourage you to take away something, take away an action. I know some podcasts you just listen to for fun and they're funny, but I really hope that this podcast really equips you to take action so that step by step you can create that healthy life that you want to live and that you can live, just get on with living your life instead of worrying about how bloated you are, how tired you are, how sore you are, how fat you are, how much in pain you are, whatever it is. So I encourage you just to, at the end of this, just think about, okay, what's one thing, and it can be tiny, what one tiny thing am I going to implement after this? And I'm going to be sharing with you 4 really actionable things, but just I want to prime you with that as you go on and listen. Think about what you can take action on. And also, I'm going to be sharing with you 4 things that can be really helpful, but it's also just to say I have done a lot of deep work when it comes to my health, and I do that with my clients as well. So these 4 things, if I was looking at myself 10 years ago and just someone gave me these 4 tips, they wouldn't fundamentally shift the issues, the IBS and things that I had, the diarrhea, the depression, the anxiety. I needed to do much deeper work, much thorough work. I had gut infections. I had parasites. I had heavy metal toxicity. I had lots of different things. So I just want to put a caveat on this. If you've had horrendous digestive issues, and we're talking really bad bowels, really bad IBS, you feel like it's a big problem, then you probably need deeper work than this. And that's when you want to book a call with me and we can chat about it further and I can give you some info and kind of give you an outline of what your program might be in terms of working together. But these things are really great things to do. That doesn't dismiss these factors at all. If you are really struggling, wherever you're at, whether you've got mild digestive issues, horrendous digestive issues, or to be fair, even if you're actually looking on focusing on encouraging, increasing your energy, all these things are a great idea as well. If you're looking to balance your hormones, these 4 things are also a brilliant idea. To be fair, these 4 things, whatever your health goal is, weight loss, mental well-being, hormones, these 4 things can really help. And why is that? Is because your gut health is foundational and fundamental for the rest of your body. It affects your immune system, your endocrine, so your hormonal system, your skin, your mind. We know so clearly through research that it affects your mental well-being, affects your fertility, it affects your immune system. If you have an autoimmune condition, if you're constantly getting colds, UTIs, cold sore and flare-ups, you need to work on your gut health. I do not have a client that comes to me where at some point in the program, we are not intensively working on their gut health. Even if, I've got a client at the moment, doesn't have any digestive issues. Most of their main focus is around their mental health and they've struggled with some various mental health issues for a long time. We're doing lots of things with them, But one of the things we are still doing all the time is working on their gut health. I have another client with endometriosis. Doesn't massively have a lot of digestive issues. I think, you know, there's bits of bloating that have gone on. But we are still working on gut health because that massively will impact the amount of inflammation going on in a body and be as part of a contributing factor that's going to help reduce the inflammation and support her body to find more balance. So it's really important, even if you're like, nah, Kezia, I don't really feel like I have that many digestive issues. These things will benefit your life. If you support your gut health, you support the rest of your health. Okay? But it is worth saying that for a lot of you, if you're really struggling, you're going to need deeper work. And you probably know that already and you're just resisting. You're in that resistance phase that I was in for a while. And most of my clients are kind of in before they come and work with me where they're like, I know I need more help, but I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the, you know, all those kind of excuses and resistance. And you can wrestle with that for a while. And when you're ready to be done with the wrestling, give me a call or another practitioner that you know, like, and trust. Okay, so let's talk about tip number one. So what is something that I do every day to support my digestion, my gut health, and to help me digest my food really well and to be really protective and preventative? And that helps me to be able to say, I don't have IBS anymore. I don't get bloated all the time. I'm not having diarrhea all the time. I'm not constipated. What's the first thing that helps me with that? I would say that one of the first things is every day, or my aim is to do it every day, is breath work and meditation. Now you may be like, what? What's it got to do with your digestion? We're talking about practical, you know, intestines and stomach, Kezia. Meditation? What? But honestly, your quick, let's just do a quick rundown. Meditation helps you to go into a parasympathetic nervous state, meaning you have these, I'm going to really simplify this, guys. This is a real boiled down basic version. I'm going to talk a lot in metaphors, but if you just follow me with this metaphor, your nervous system is very complex, does lots of things, but let's just boil it down and say one aspect of your nervous system is it helps to control two states, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous state, or you might have known it as fight and flight, fight, flight, freeze, that state, or rest and digest and sleep and chill out. These two states, sympathetic is the stress, fight, flee, parasympathetic is like, whoo, chill man, after Christmas dinner, just chilling out, rest, digest. In order for you to digest your food optimally, you need to be in a rest and digest stage and phase. If you are constantly in this sympathetic nervous state, go, 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 all the time, throughout the day, you're eating meals on the run, or maybe you're actually sitting down to eat and you're trying to rest, but actually your nervous state is just in that productivity state, you'll really struggle to digest your food well. Now, and the thing we want to know is, what can we do about it? And research is really clear. On a really basic level, some of the most effective and free things that you can do is by making sure you take 5-6 deep breaths before you have a meal. So breathing in through your nose if you can. Just doing some deep breaths before you have a meal. So say you're in the office, you might need to walk to the office kitchen, get your lunch out the fridge or heat it up or whatever. On your walk to the kitchen, you can just do some deep breaths. It might be that before your dinner at night, you start saying grace again, whatever your religious beliefs. That whole taking a minute just to sit, we used to do it growing up and we'd all hold hands and sometimes we'd sing a song in a Brady Bunch fashion. But actually, that helped shift my nervous state into a parasympathetic nervous state and getting me out of that kind of go, go, go mode. So it might be that you do just take time as a family before a meal to take some deep breaths and just say thank you for this food. You can do this on your own. You doesn't need to be in a family, but that can be really helpful. And doing that throughout the day, if you want to digest your food well, you need to be able and you need to train your body to switch between these two states. And the thing I see most commonly with 99% of the women and the men that I work with is that they are not shifting between these states. They are kind of stuck in the sympathetic nervous state. And that makes digestion really hard. That makes it really hard for you to thoroughly digest your food. If you're not thoroughly digesting your food, you'll be bloated. You'll have funny bowels. You'll be tired. You might have skin issues. You'll have toilet dramas. You might have pains in your stomach. because you're not digesting your food properly. The food you're eating is actually becoming quite inflammatory to your body because it's not getting broken down into the correct sizes and forms that the body needs to use as fuel. And so it just becomes this problematic thing. Instead of this incredible nourishment, instead of this incredible medicine, you know, food is medicine, it actually becomes problematic. And if you are trying to eat constantly and be in the sympathetic nervous state, you will really struggle to digest your foods. So every day, what I try to do, and since having a baby, I have made this more of a focus of a weekly focus, to be honest, because I don't always have as much time to sit in silence on my own with a 15-month-old running around. But I really prioritize it, actually, and I have made it more of an effort in the coming months because my brain has really needed it for other reasons. But I really encourage you to take some time to meditate, even if it's before you go to bed. Everyone can meditate before going to sleep. Unless you're constantly having sex before bed every night of the week, which if you are, good for you. That's great for your nervous system as well. That also helps you to get into that parasympathetic nervous state. But the times that you're not maybe having sex straight before you go to sleep, meditate. You have time. You can do this. Ideally, meditating in the morning can be really helpful. Or I've had clients that have done it in their car, in their lunch break. I've had clients do it while they go and park. They've actually gone to go pick up the kids early because traffic is crazy. So they deliberately go and then they're like, oh, I have 20 minutes to meditate. And it means I'm not stressed and have no place to park to pick up the kids. People can do it before bed. Really important. Really helps your digestion. I know that meditation can feel like this really airy, fairy, intangible thing that doesn't really benefit your cells, but that's wrong thinking. Research shows us that it benefits your cellular activity. It benefits your digestion. It benefits your hormonal balance. We know that to be the case, and it is free. And the only thing it requires from you, the only thing you need to do is make a choice. And it's not easy to do. You'll probably think you're doing a crap job of it. You probably think you're failing at it. You'll probably feel like you're rubbish at it. That's okay. That is part of the process. So do it. There's loads of free apps. I often do like free ones on YouTube. I've started using an app called Insight Timer recently, which is great. I love doing a Tony Robbins one, which I'll link to. That's been my latest one on YouTube. It's like 15 minutes long. But do whatever. I don't care how you meditate. I just want you to do it. And then the breath work is like mini meditations throughout the day. So what you want to do throughout the day, like before your meal, is just try and take some intentional deep breaths. So I try to do this now when I'm in the car. Instead of driving along being like, oh, I'm late or oh, the traffic, I try at some point in my drive to take deep breaths. If I'm going around the shop, instead of being like, oh, where's the pecans? Where are the walnuts? Take some deep breaths. When I'm making dinner, chopping up onions and vegetables, taking some deep breaths because they remind your nervous system that it's safe. And your body will digest best when it feels safe. If it feels threatened, either physically or actually or perceived threats, your body is going to channel its energy into fighting, fleeing, or freezing, not into digesting food. And it takes up a lot of energy. The process of digestion is a very energy consuming process. It takes a lot from your body too, which is why I don't recommend for most people eating before going to bed, because it's like your body has to focus on that for hours instead of on all the nourishing healing aspects that are meant to be a part of sleep. So that's number one. That's something I try to do every day or every week is breathe. Intentional breath work, and ideally 10 to 15 minutes of meditation at some point in the day. The next thing, this is a quick, easy, dirty hack that I do, that I love, that I share with all my clients, is I drink a lot of herbal tea. Now, this is so accessible. Whether you have an office and you always have meetings and everyone's getting coffee and tea, you can easily fit this in here. Whether you go, whether you work from home and you go see friends, whether you're going out to a coffee shop, like we can all drink a cup of tea, can't we? You can't give me excuses on these things. You can drink a cup of tea. And tea is a great way to support your digestion because depending on the herbal tea you have, it can really help to support your liver. It helps keep you hydrated, so encourage regular bowel movements. So if you're struggling with constipation, you need to make sure you're staying hydrated. Certain herbal teas can really help support digestion, things like ginger tea and fennel tea and peppermints. It can be nice digestive aids. They're very soothing. And if you get good quality herbal tea, you can get this kind of herbal medicinal support throughout the day. So I really recommend having about 2 to 3 cups of herbal tea a day. And depending on your main digestive issue, that would depend on the tea that you get. So if you struggle a lot, say with constipation and bloating, then you might want to go more with peppermint tea, fennel, nettle, those kinds of things. If you struggle with diarrhea, you might want to focus a little bit more perhaps on ginger, fennel, maybe nettle, chamomile, especially actually with diarrhea. And make sure you have them throughout the day. Really, really helpful. There's some great brands like Yogi Tea, Pukka Tea, Heath and Heather Teas. Those are all medicinal, herbal medicinal teas. So you want to, you can use lots of different modes. So, and just to be clear, I don't mean caffeinated tea, black tea in this process. That can have benefits, but caffeine can often be quite disruptive and irritating to people's digestion. Even green tea and white tea can sometimes be irritating for people's digestion if they've got very acute digestive issues. So if you like green tea, then feel free to keep on going with it, but it might not have as much potentially digestive support as some of these other things. My most favorite herbal teas is nettle tea. Really great for the liver, really great for allergies. Love it. So good. And ginger tea with some turmeric in. If you're looking to feel nice and cozy and beat inflammation in your body, that's great for joints as well. And for all, like, it's so good for you and so tasty. You can add in some raw honey to the mix. Honestly, it's delightful. And you can do this throughout the day. You know, if you're at work, you can take some decent tea bags in with you. If you're at home, often I just fill a teapot full with grated root ginger and turmeric and just keep on filling it up throughout the day. And it does me well. And it's easy to do. We can all have a cup of tea, can't we? Okay, so that's something I do every day, wherever I am in the world. If I travel, if I go on aeroplanes especially, I'll always take lots of herbal tea with me. They really help settle my stomach. My stomach is never happy on an aeroplane. Don't know why. Just is always bloated after I get off an aeroplane. Whether I eat stuff, don't eat stuff. I think it's just the altitude and the stress of travel. I don't know. Okay, so the third thing that can be really, really helpful is supporting your bacteria. So you'll probably know from adverts and other episodes that I've done that your gut bacteria is really important. I did a whole episode on why you need more good bacteria in your gut. So I'll link to that in the show notes. If you haven't listened to it, have a listen to that. And that will give you a bit more in-depth information on what the heck, why this is and why it's not just a big marketing scam to get you to drink tiny drinks or expensive yogurts. It is really important. But what people often fail to think of is they'll often think of probiotics, so adding in these bacteria things, but they often forget about prebiotics. And prebiotics are the things that will feed and help support this structural ecosystem of good bacteria in your gut. So something I do every day is try and focus on both. And potentially moving on in the future, now that I've done a lot of healing work in my stomach, I'm actually probably going to focus this next year more on prebiotics than I am going to on probiotics, just to make sure that I'm really feeding the different diverse strains of bacteria in my gut. So your probiotics would come from decent supplementation, fermented foods, sauerkraut, kombucha, kimchi, kefir, those kinds of things. And your prebiotics would be found in things like vegetables, especially things like Jerusalem artichoke, leeks, things, I mean, all vegetables, but specifically those kinds of foods. And what I've started to do is supplement with something called acacia fiber or acacia powder, not to be mistaken for acai, but I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but acacia powder, which I bought, which is just like a powder that I add to a drink or water or smoothies every day to help. Research has shown that's one of the most effective prebiotics that you can have to help grow and diversify your ecosystem, which is really where I'm at now with the phase of my gut health. I don't really have any strong acute symptoms directly of digestive issues. I still have some health stuff going on that, you know, will still be linked to my gut, but I really want to work on increasing the diversity going on in my gut. So I'll link to the powder that I have been using in that, but you don't need to go straight to a powder. You can just eat more vegetables, things like freshly ground linseeds, some of your resistant starches like sweet potato, green bananas. So not ripe bananas, but green bananas can all really help. But generally vegetables, just as a general rule, are great prebiotics. So that's why everyone needs to be eating more vegetables. One of the many reasons. So that's something I do every day, is make sure I'm having prebiotics in the form of vegetables first, cooked vegetables, raw vegetables, somewhere in between vegetables. And I also supplement with some prebiotic support. And that's, to be honest, that prebiotic support is only something I've been doing in the last 4 or 5 months. Before then, I was just mainly focused on getting a good variety of vegetables in. And the fourth and final thing that I do every day to support and cultivate healthy digestion and good gut health is by not eating foods that my body does not like. So I know that talking about not eating foods and restricting certain foods can feel a bit problematic or difficult, but what's like a good way of saying this? For every client that I've worked with, there is always some foods that just don't do them any good, that don't support their gut health. Now, everyone is slightly different, although there is recurring trends, which is what I base my generalized kind of health advice on. But if you're eating foods every day that you're not able to digest, then you will be creating potentially inflammation within your gut, damaging your gut lining, and creating a whole host of digestive issues. So you cannot expect to heal your digestion and maintain healthy digestion if every day you're kind of onslaughting your body, or like attacking, let's say, your digestive system with foods that are really problematic. So for example, for me, foods that are problematic for my gut health long term is dairy. Standard processed dairy, milk especially. I cannot drink milk every single day. It does not do my sinuses good, my skin good, but ultimately it doesn't help my digestive system. Now, because I've done so much work with my gut health, I can actually get away with going out and having some flat whites with milk and going out to a restaurant and having something with milk in it, and I'm fine. But if I were to do that every day for 2 months, then that would be problematic. I have built resiliency into my gut, so I can go out now and that's fine, but I can't make it a part of my lifestyle. So now I'm not super, super strict about these things, but generally they're not a part of my lifestyle. Gluten's another one. And this is another one that's actually really, there's some great research around it. So even if you don't have celiac disease, eating gluten regularly can increase the amount of zonulin in your intestines. And what that means is that by eating gluten, there's a certain part of gluten that can really inflame and irritate your gut lining, this kind of single cell lining, and make these, quick rundown, what you should have in your intestines is really tight junctures. Think of cells really packed in close together. And that's this kind of barrier between the food you're eating and kind of the outside world. If you think about your gut almost just being an extension of your skin, because you've got a hole at the top and a hole at the bottom, it's kind of actually still, we kind of got like this tube going through us. It's not really in the body. It's almost this skin layer. So you've got this almost, let's just call it a skin layer in your intestines. There's really tight junctures, and eating gluten regularly can cause these junctures to get lazy, to have gaps. And that causes a lot of digestive issues. So for me now, I just choose not to eat gluten. I don't have celiac disease. I don't even have strong digestive reactions to if I eat gluten. Like I had some bread over Christmas, some really nice artisan sourdough bread, and I felt tired and a bit achy in my joints, but I didn't have any strong digestive issues. But I know it doesn't do me good, so I just don't eat that. And guys, I've done this for years. I probably haven't had, gluten's not been a part of my lifestyle for what, maybe 7 years, 8 years? It doesn't bother me. I don't miss bread. People always thought, oh, bread. I know bread can be nice. If I really crave bread, like I maybe did over the holidays, there was some beautiful artisan toast that was going with this lovely hollandaise thing I was having for breakfast. And I'd asked for gluten-free toast, but then they gave me this. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so much better quality than the crappy gluten-free stuff. And so I just had it and enjoyed it and it was fine. But I'm not like, it's like the way I feel without bread is so worth it, compared to just eating bread every day because I'm kind of addicted and can't stop. I don't feel great in my mind, in my joints, when I eat regular gluten, so I don't eat it. And I know from looking at research that's been done into intestinal permeability that it doesn't do a lot of us any good. So I don't eat it. And that is the fourth principle, is for you figuring out, now you might not, the things for you might not be dairy and gluten, and that's fine. I'm not giving you this formula, everyone with digestive issues should stop eating these things. No, what I'm saying is you need to figure out What foods don't do you good? What foods contribute to poor digestion? And you need to eliminate them and create a lifestyle where you flourish without those foods. And instead of eating those foods, eating more of these other awesome foods that make you feel amazing. And that's what I do with my clients. I help them to figure this out. Help them to figure out what foods fuel them and what foods hinder them. Because if you can do that, it's honestly one of the best things that you can do, because then your food can really become your medicine. Because A, you start digesting it, and you know that the foods you're eating are actually doing you good instead of hindering your progress and hindering your performance and hindering how you feel and holding you back. So those are my four things. So if you have any questions about this, then do let me know. If you want to know more, if you're ready to go deep with this, head over to keziahall.com, click the work with me page, and I have two options of how you can work with me this year. I'd love to work with you. So book a call with me, join me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge, however it is. I'd love to connect with you, chat with you, have an actual conversation. That's what I love. I'm not interested in, I don't know, millions and millions and millions of people listening to this podcast. I'd rather have less people listening, but I actually chatted with them and knew them a bit more. That's more my vibe. That's more how I work. Have an amazing day. And remember to take, when this podcast ends, think about what one action can you take? What small thing, what small adjustment can you do or can you plan to do in a couple of weeks? And I will be with you next week. Sending you lots of love.